creating customer value with Peppers and Rogers. I'm Amanda Malgieri, assistant editor. In the January installment of our podcast series, Martha Rogers answers readers' questions on customer equity. How can we understand what customers are worth? For more on this topic, be sure to check out Peppers and Rogers' latest book, Rules to Break and Laws to Follow. It will be available on Amazon.com starting in February.
Hi, I'm Martha Rogers. I'm here to answer some questions about customer equity. How can we understand what customers are worth? First question, how do most financial services companies measure customer worth? Do you know of forward-thinking companies who are predicting what a customer will be worth in the future in addition to what they're worth now? The question's a good one. How do most financial services companies measure customer worth or customer value, I would say. But the answer is in varied ways. Some go entirely on current revenues and number of products held. Others are on other kinds of things or take additional things into consideration, such as the strength of the relationship, the longevity of the relationship. So a customer that is that has been our customer for longer and has slowly added products over time might be worth at least as much as a customer who just started 6 months ago or a year ago and has more revenue coming into the bank. So that sort of thing depends a lot on what we can learn about customers and how we can pull it together. But we're always looking for things, for indicators, for lead indicators that will actually give us the most information about customers. And generally those leading indicators fall into several categories. The attitudinal indicators, the behavioral indicators, people who do this, as it turns out, are also likely to do that, the life stage indicators, and then also the customer measure indicators, such as share of customer, lifetime value measures, and so forth. The interesting thing about life stage is that that means there's an opportunity, especially for a bank, to recognize that a poor college student or a hard-strapped person in law school might be very valuable in the near future and may want to treat that person more for potential value than current value. I hope that's helpful. When we think about forward-thinking companies who are predicting what a customer will be worth in the future in addition to what they're worth now, the first real example of we saw that in financial services was actually in Canada, where we saw one of the banks looking at retail banking and assigning customer managers to groups of customers, and then holding those retail banking customer managers accountable at the end of the quarter for two things simultaneously. How much the customer has been worth this past quarter, how much money did we make from this customer, and so forth. But also, at the same time, how much will that customer be worth to us over the next 3 years? And that is a very important measure, because what it means is that no relationship manager at the bank is ever going to be tempted to do something that wins a lot of business in the short term but isn't really good for building trust or relationships in the long term or keeping customers longer. So we think that's very important. We also have seen several other companies starting to follow suit and thinking in terms simultaneously of how much a customer is worth today and also how much that customer is worth today for the future. It also gives us the possibility of being able to measure the value of customers we don't even have yet, and that's important. Our next question is this: what is the difference between a customer's worth and a customer's lifetime value? Well, we've all been working with the term lifetime value for a long time, and we know that that's divided into actual value, which is sort of the current predictable value based on things we know now, possibly recent transactional history, something pretty straightforward like that, and a customer's potential value, how much a customer could be worth if only we knew enough about that customer, used that information to anticipate what a customer needs, and could be there in exactly the way the customer needs over time. And then if we could, in fact, be worth the most possible to a customer, then we have the challenge of closing the gap between a customer's actual value and a customer's potential value. Now, if we compare that idea of lifetime value with a customer's worth, then I guess we're into one of two things. We're possibly into a semantic difference. It's possible that at some organizations the term worth will simply mean the same thing as lifetime value. Or it's possible that what we mean is how much the customer could be spending somewhere, whether it's with us or others. For example, if a bank is measuring a customer's worth, then that person is being evaluated on what the total assets of that human being's or company's holdings would be. And then maybe we use that as a basis to start thinking about share of customer or what we're doing next or something like that. So it's not that they're not linked, but at the same time, the lifetime value is probably more directly related to the value to the company, and that is interlinked with the value of the company to the customer, whereas the worth of the customer might be something that's really more about the customer's value to himself. The final question we'll be looking at today is this: how can we alert our call center agents when calls come in from high-value customers? We'd like to make agents aware that these calls are a priority. Are screen pops or something similar the best method for this? Well, of course, there's several ways to do it. We can make the name a different color. We can have something that comes up on the screen that sort of shows high, medium, or low value, things like that. But one of the best and most immediate things that I've ever seen in my experience is that the usual background color of the screen itself actually changes. So for American Airlines, if I'm not mistaken, the blue background that is normally up on the screen changes to a red background when the agent is looking at a million miler or a platinum flyer. And that makes it immediately obvious and something that the contact person, the call center agent, or the person at the counter just can't miss. And that's really what we're after here, is something that is easy to see and doesn't get in the way, doesn't require looking at a particular thing, and that makes good sense. I'd also like to applaud the person who asked this question, because we think that it's important and a good idea to make agents aware that these calls are a priority and to understand that this is not just about this transaction and making things good for this transaction or even making a profit on this transaction, but instead to think about the value of the relationship with this customer and to make sure that relationship takes the highest priority in this call. Thanks so much.
Thanks to Martha Rogers for sharing her insight on customer equity. Be sure to join us next month for the next installment of our podcast series. Until then, I'm Amanda Malgieri for Search CRM.